Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Monday, 11th of January, 2021. I'm your host, Mr. Jolly of Sydney. My partner, the other host, sometimes he calls himself my better half, is Scotty Harland. He is the Harlander, a.k.a. the Harlander 23 on Twitter. I am Mr. Jolly of Sydney on Twitter. I tell you what, you can hear by the sound of my voice, I've just been watching the exciting ring-stinging Kings just dumping all over the Indiana Pacers at the end of the game. Wow, Rashawn Holmes, four blocks he had in the final 8 minutes while he was playing on five fouls. That was exciting stuff. And then De'Aaron Fox drove straight down the lane and dunked right in Brogdon's face to seal it. That was amazing. Buddy Hield had six threes too. And it seems like that man, Haliburton, makes a huge difference because the Kings look like a different team. Joining me to talk about all of that and a lot more, of course, is my Monday guest. He is Hank Aaron 2 on Twitter. Hank.
Hello, Mr. Jolly. How are you?
Mate, I'm very happy. I got a soft spot for the Kings. I just think because they look like a bit of a trailer fire and it looks terrible. And their coach doesn't really look like he knows what he's doing, but they've got some very exciting players. And yeah, watching the last quarter there, that was exciting stuff.
It's nice to see them developing. They are a team that's had quite a bit of talent the last few seasons, but it seems like at an organizational level, they're having some trouble, and it's nice that they're starting to gel.
Indeed, and we'll certainly get to the Kings a bit later on in the show. Let's start in chronological order, though, with the games that finished earlier in the day. And the first game off the slate was the New York Knicks losing to the Charlotte Hornets by a score of 88 points to 109. So this was a bit of a flogging. The Knicks seem to have fallen back down to earth. And part of that is probably the fact that they've only got eight players and probably seven in the rotation. When Kevin Knox is your best player, you're probably struggling a little bit. He had 19 points, five rebounds, two assists, seven for 17 from the field, almost leading them in shots. RJ Barrett had 11 points, nine rebounds, five assists. RJ, what do you think about him?
Now, he's a guy that flashes a little bit with his counting stats. Unfortunately, the efficiency with him is down, and he's not even in the top 150. So with RJ, you know you're going to get some points. You can get some assists and rebounds, but he's going to really hurt you with the field goal percentage. He's going to hurt you with the free throws. And you know he can be a negative on the turnovers as well. So he's not somebody I look to own in a 12-team league. Maybe in a 14-team or 16-teamer, but not there for me in 12-team.
And Alfred Payton keeps chugging along and providing a little bit of low-end 12-team value. He had 15 points, six rebounds, four assists, two steals. But Mitch Robinson, this is exciting stuff, 33 minutes. Those minutes are right up there. Nerlens Noel only had 14 minutes in terms of that 48-minute split. He had 12 points, 11 rebounds, two steals, two blocks, a perfect five for five from the field. Mitch Robinson owners who picked him up around the 50 mark, probably pretty happy, aren't they?
I think so. And I think Mitch Robinson was a guy that even last year in a year that he struggled, he was still around the top 50. If he's getting 33 minutes a game, 30 minutes a game, he's going to be a nice value because he produces a lot in his minutes. He racks up the blocks. He has a very good field goal percentage. His free throw shooting leaves a little bit to be desired, but the blocks, rebounds, and field goal percentage, if he's getting 30 minutes a game, you're going to be handsomely paid off if you got him in the 50-60 range.
Yeah, and he's already up to number 41 on a per-game basis. And if you punt three-pointers
it's even better. He would be in the top 30 if you're punting 3 points, 3 point baskets. On the other side, oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, and he only had one foul tonight. So I think as he plays smarter and he stays on the court more, you know, the fouls are going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, it seems like he has got that under control because last season was absolutely shocking. The season before was even worse. You had mentioned that you wanted to talk about Taj Gibson. Is he someone we should look out for coming back on, and who might he influence when he does start playing?
Well, the thing is, he's probably not going to have value in a 12-team league, but he may hurt Mitch Robinson. He may hurt New Orleans Noel, who only had 15 minutes tonight already. So if he actually gets into the mix, he's probably going to take away from both of their values, and he may kill any chance Noel has of being a 12-team player.
And it possibly eat into some of Julius Randle's minutes as well, because he's been playing some ridiculous minutes. I think he was averaging over 40 minutes a game the last week. He only played 30 tonight because this was a blowout. So there could be a little bit of a chip on Julius Randle as well, and he's been talked about by many as a sell high. Probably makes sense to try and cash in on him if you can. For the Charlotte Hornets, Gordon Hayward was incredible. He ended up with 34 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 11 for 17, really efficient. He didn't play much of the last quarter because it was a blowout. I think he had 29 points at halftime. He is looking electric, isn't he?
He is. He's in the top 25 right now on a per-game basis. And if you look at the numbers, much of it looks sustainable. You know, his scoring is up from where it's been in the past, and his free throw percentage is a little bit high. That'll probably trend down a little bit, but the points don't seem to be fluky. He is the guy on this team. They signed him to be the leader. His usage is up. It seems like it's going to hold, and he's a pretty good bet to stay in the top 30 this season, I think.
Yeah, so people who drafted him, he was falling really low because he started out the season with that hand injury. And I remember doing a poll about this in our Facebook group, and there were people saying they wouldn't even take him in the 80 to 100 range. So I think he fell to like something like ADP 60, and gee, that is looking amazing.
It's a great deal as long as he can stay healthy.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? You can end up looking stupid by saying it's fantastic value. Go trade, get him, whatever. And then he hasn't been good the last few seasons with his injuries, has he?
Right. That's not.
As ever, there is like so much to talk about with Charlotte. They're one of those teams that we identified preseason. Scotty and I did as being a team that has a lot of interesting players and probably going to have a lot of value. So Terry Rozier in this game, he had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, only 8 shots. Now, he had 34 minutes. Is this a sort of example with their main scoring guys that it's going to wax and wane and one night someone else will go off? Like Devontae Graham had 19 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists. He had 15 shots, so double the number of shots of Rozier. It's a bit hard to predict from night to night who's going to go off, isn't it?
That's correct. But I think it also shows you for Rozier, even when he has a quiet game, he still chips in 12 points, 6 rebounds, a couple of threes, a steal, a couple of assists. He's in the top 50 on a per-game basis, and it looks like that's not fluky either. You know, he may end up top 60, top 65, but he's going to turn out to be a nice return on investment from his ADP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Now, what about Devontae Graham? People have been talking about him as a potential drop. Obviously, if you're not punting, if you're not punting field goal percentage, he probably was a drop. But holding on to him, I guess.
Yeah, definitely worth holding. I don't think that his field goal percentage is going to stay at 28. Last year it was at 38, so it's still pretty bad. But if you can sustain that kind of a hit to your field goal percentage, he scores, he gets assists. You are going to take a ding in your field goal percentage, but it's not going to be nearly as bad as it is right now.
Speaking of dings in your field goal percentage, LaMelo Ball, he smashed up your vehicle and left it on the side of the road because that's a bit more than a ding. He had 3 for 13 at 23% today, only 8 points, but he did have 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. I'm containing myself here because LaMelo's a boy who played in Sydney. We'll claim him for our own, actually in Wollongong, where Scotty lives. So I saw him play live. Pretty incredible. I don't have any shares of him because I play in leagues with people who grabbed him before me. I wish that I did, though.
You know, I mean, his numbers are shaping up similar to his brother's, Lonzo, from last season, where the field goal hurts, the free throws hurt. They're not quite as bad as Lonzo's numbers, but he's hitting, you know, hitting threes, assists, rebounds, all that is coming. So I think LaMelo, I don't think you're going to regret it that much. I think the efficiency is going to catch up to him, but he'll still probably be worth owning in 12-team leagues, but I don't think he's going to be in the top 50 or 60.
Mm. Well, one thing you might regret, though, is if you don't get the fantasy pass. The draft season, of course, has been over for a few weeks now, and you probably brewski 150 your way to a hell of a team, but the season has just begun. The fantasy pass is still the best deal in the industry at just $4.99 a month, and now we're into the regular season. There is zero commitment. Sign up for 1 month for $5. If you don't like it, you can cancel. You know, we know you'll really love it, but it's always nice to have that option, of course. The Fantasy Pass has everything you will need to dominate all year. Updating projections, new fantasy appraiser tools, schedule and streaming charts, pickups, drops, and our newest and coolest feature, the Hoopball Discord server, which I bang on about quite a bit. I'm over there. Look, experts with far greater acumen than me are there as well. You can hang out with all of those pros around the clock, get one-on-one help with your team. So please do check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com. That is hoop-ball.com. Click on the Fantasy Pass right below the main media wall. The second game on the slate today was the Memphis Grizzlies winning by 10 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers, 101 points to 91. Now, for the Memphis Grizzlies, somebody that we have talked about before on several occasions, Brandon Clark, he had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, no blocks, 7 for 13 from the field. So that field goal percentage that he helps with was there. He's sort of just chugging along, doing better than he did before without being incredible.
Right. He's kind of there as a perhaps a low-end guy in 12-team leagues. His value is not there on the season. You know, he's getting hurt somewhat by his free throw percentage, and the defensive numbers aren't high enough yet to compensate for that. So, you know, he's somebody, if you want to stash him there for the upside, you can do it, but not somebody I'm in love with and not somebody that I think is must-own in a 12-team, especially when you consider JJJ will come back soon and eat into his time.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, isn't it, where you're sort of just maybe looking for the right moment to sell high on him if you can. You want to maybe after his next big game, because he has had a couple of decent ones. If you toggle the things by the like last week or the last 2 weeks, you might be able to trick somebody into taking him off your hands for top, I don't know. I think you probably take anything inside the top 100, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
I would, yeah.
Another guy who plays for the aforementioned Memphis Grizzlies is Dylan Brooks. And today his line was 21 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He had 2 blocks as well, 6 for 15 from the field. That pretty tragic field goal percentage as ever. You're not going to talk me into thinking he's good, are you?
Not good. But he can sit on your team as a 3-point specialist and a points guy at the end of your bench. Why not? The field goal percentage is going to hurt, but I think if you need those threes and points, you could use him.
He has crept inside the top 100 on the season, which is pretty amazing, because last season, I think, because his field goal percentage was so bad and his points were down, he was outside of the top 200. So he seems to have improved a little bit. For the Cleveland Cavaliers, it was another huge game from Andre Drummond, 19 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He was 8 for 16 from the field. What can we say about him? It's really just a matter of the three throw percentage, which is normally pretty bad today. It was appalling. He was 3 for 9 from the line at 33%.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the free throw percentage has weighed down his fantasy value. But even then, he's still been a pretty good producer the past few years. This year, his numbers are down in terms of the, I guess the free throw is worse than it's been in the past. And, you know, the attempts are slightly higher. But, you know, right now he's quite a bit off his pace from the past few years. Cleveland is not suiting him well. I don't know. I think probably regresses up a little bit, but not much higher than top 60.
But isn't this a case of if you're punting three throw percentage, I'm just looking at this now, if you punt three throw percentage, he's 29th on a per game basis. So he's 88th if you don't punt three throw percentage. So basically, that's a pretty clear case where when you're building a team, if you're not punting three throw percentage, he's just killing all of his value, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? So if you're paying a premium for him, if you're paying a top 30, 40 kind of a price for him, and he's hurting your free throw percentage, it's not worth it. But if you've punted the free throw, then yeah, you could use him and he can be pretty valuable. And you got to expect that his field goal will come up. So,
and here's a little question for you too about punting in this season. I'm sort of regretting the teams that I punted field goal percentage and or free throw percentage in, because of what's happening with coronavirus. And this is something, my best teams are the ones where I, in a very disciplined way, went about drafting people who had good field goal percentage and good three throw percentage. So I looked for bigs that had good, who were good from the line as well. And I also tried to look at guys who, and I know a lot of people don't like doing this, but I was looking at guys who don't commit a lot of turnovers too. Try and keep those categories down. And the reason is some of my teams, the ones I didn't do that in, they're getting flogged already today because I'm missing so many guys. So because of the coronavirus and people dropping out like flies and getting less games, potentially targeting the percentages was a strategy that looks like it might have been clever.
Yes, and I think this would have been great advice prior to the draft. And it's funny because I typically don't punt categories, but as you mentioned it, I think you're absolutely right. I think in the time of Corona, when players are being, you know, randomly sat and there's a lot of protocol and testing and a lot of games are being missed, having that advantage in the percentages will help you out because of, you know, those won't be affected as much by the sitting. So it is good advice and it is good something to target moving forward if you can with trades.
Yeah, actually, definitely. Looking for guys with that high field goal percentage and free throw percentage and ones who don't give the ball away, that's a really good combination. Larry Nance, speaking of good, he has been awesome. He had 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 steals, which is why you get him. He fills up those categories. 5 for 7 from the field at 71.4%. And he also hit 3 3-point shots. My goodness, he is a monster.
He's been fantastic to start the year. Kevin Love's been out. He's been getting a ton of run. He's always flashed as a permanent guy, but right now with the role that he's got, with the position that he's got, he's at 34 on the season. He's got room to move up on his free throw percentage. So he's not a high volume guy, but at least it won't hurt you as much. I don't know. I think this is for real as long as Kevin Love is out.
That is the question, isn't it? Like at some point, maybe you've got to kind of guess where to do it. Is he a sell high?
If you can get a solid top 50 guy, absolutely.
Yeah, you really think that he slips outside the top 50 when Kevin Love comes back?
Yeah, I think he would. But I'm also not so bullish on Kevin Love coming back, playing, staying healthy, right? So I'd be willing to sell him for 50 or top 50, top 60 guy, but I wouldn't go too low. Because I think there's he'll probably maintain this rate for the rest of the season as long as Love is out, and Love has just never been a durable guy. So I'm not selling too low. I'll sell high, but I wouldn't give him away.
And maybe the hope is as well for Nance owners when Love comes back. Those 15 minutes that JaVale McGee is using at the moment, are using in the loose sense of the word, maybe those 15 minutes just drop away completely and Nance doesn't lose as many minutes from Kevin Love. So maybe his minutes get spread around and taken away from everybody. Maybe Chetty Osman loses a few minutes as well. I'm not sure. It's hard to trade away somebody who's just doing so well, especially for somebody as injury prone as Kevin Love.
Yeah, I'd ride it out. I would, again, a solid top 60 guy. I would move him forward, but otherwise, I wouldn't be looking to move him.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that is solid is the Hoop Ball Bruise Letter, which is Aaron Brewski coming straight to your inbox. It's back and fresh for the 2021 season. Our founder, Aaron Brewski, he writes this email newsletter. It's full of really fantastic intimate fantasy nuggets. It's exclusive content you can't find anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on any podcast. It's not on social media. It's only in the email newsletter. You can sign up and get it for free. Go to bit.ly/bruiseletter2021 and sign up in 10 seconds. That is bit.ly/bruiseletter2021. Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox. You got to enjoy that. The next game, speaking of enjoying, was the Milwaukee Bucks up against the Orlando Magic. And it was the Bucks handing out a flogging to Orlando. It's a bit disappointing with Orlando, hasn't it? They've just been devastated by that Fultz injury, and Fournier is out at the moment as well. They've really kind of dropped away after starting 6-2.
Yep, and they, you know, go back to the bubble where they lost Jonathan Isaac. It was a good young team, and they just suffered two big injuries to two young, you know, guys who are developing very nicely. So it's an unfortunate situation for them as an organization.
Now, if we pick positive things out of the Orlando Magic side of it, maybe Aaron Gordon is a place to start. Now, he was somebody we talked about. I think it might have been on the first show as being somebody that had potentially negligible value. But with these injuries, he now looks like a breakout is probably the wrong word. Although we did talk about how he was still young. He had 21 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 3 three-pointers, and he was 8 for 14 from the field. They're playing more offense through him as well, which explains those 8 assists.
You know, I think with him, it's usually a mirage because he'll occasionally give these nice offensive nights, but at the end of the day, he'll go back. His field goal, his free throw will go down. He's not somebody that consistently gives the defensive stats. So you see a steal and 2 blocks tonight. It looks nice, but I don't think he keeps it up, and I think he's someone that you can sell high. So usually when people say sell high, it's like, well, somebody has to be willing to trade with you. But Aaron Gordon is a player that if he strings together a few of these 20-point games, you know, you could probably package him with someone else and get a top 50, top 40 asset. So he's actually a guy you could sell high, and if he has one or two more 20-point games in a row, I'd get pretty aggressive with it.
Now, if you look at the last week, and you punt free throw percentage, he is a top 50 player, but he's another one who's just absolutely like ruining you on the free throws. He has been attempting 5.5 a game and only hitting half of them over his last 4 games or so. But yeah, so sell high candidate Aaron Gordon. Now, Cole Anthony, the rookie, his performance today was, oh God, I'm just losing this here. Where are we? 13 points on some pretty unattractive shooting percentages again. Is he a hold?
You know, he was actually a sell high before he played his first game. And that's what I did. I picked him up. I had the number one spot on the wire. I picked him up and I was able to flip him before he even got on the court. He's worth holding if you can sustain the hit to your field goal percentage. Otherwise, no.
It's pretty bad, isn't it? 4 for 13, and this is just game after game after game now, and only 1 assist today. I mean, part of that was that the Magic shot a putrid 42.9% from the field. They were not good from deep either. So, yeah, he only managed 23 minutes as well. I think there are better rookies out there like Tyrese Halliburton, for example, even Pat Williams at Chicago potentially, because he's not going to destroy your field goal percentage.
Yeah, I think Anthony's field goal percentage is bad. He's not giving good assist numbers like you'd expect. I don't mind holding him for another week or two just to see if he can consistently get 30 minutes, which he probably will. You know, maybe he gets his assist numbers a little bit higher and he could be useful, but he's not a must hold, and he's likely to be a major drain on your field goal percentage, and he's been getting a lot of turnovers too. So not a must hold by any means. And especially if you're not punting field goal percentage, you could probably drop him in the next week or so.
Now, for the Bucks, and this is what happens quite often, a lot of these box scores are kind of reduced by the fact that this was a big blowout. Giannis only played 27 minutes. He had 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He hit 2 three-pointers, and he was 8 for 16 from the field. That's what we expect from a top 10 fantasy player, isn't it?
Yep, and again, just it shows you all the good. It also kind of gives you the bad there with the 4 for 7 from the free throw line. But you see what he can do. He can really stuff it in every category. So you enjoy all the numbers. You don't like the free throw percentage, but the rest of it shows you why. If you punt free throw percentage, he was the number one player last season.
Yeah, I mean, it's so bad, by the way. You really can't overcome it with other players. Like, to try and find the volume to get that free throw percentage back up from other guys, you've really got to have, like, Brogdon and Damian Lillard. And, I mean, you're not going to get Damian Lillard because he's another first-round guy. Like, how do you do it? You can't really repair that free throw percentage, can you?
No. And it really is a drag on its value if you're not punting the category.
Somebody who is not really a drag on any categories because he doesn't really have any weaknesses, that is Chris Middleton. He had 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He didn't have any blocks. That's probably the category he doesn't really do much in. He had 2 3-pointers and he was 9 for 17 from the field. Now, where is he on a per-game basis?
He's number 19, and he's there without really, you know, any glaring issues, right? He was number 30 last year.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
2 seasons ago, he was down here at 63, and the year before that, he was 25. So he's right where we expect him to be. If you were in on the B150, if you were looking at the Brew 150, he had Middleton very high, much higher than you know most other rankings did. And you see he's been a very durable guy the last 2 seasons as well. So if you got him, he's outperforming Giannis by a wide margin right now. And he's outperforming a lot of people that were drafted, you know, right before, right after him. So enjoy the ride and don't expect it to go down much.
And you know, this is something as well you can probably pen in for next season. Like, and if you've got like notes like I have, which have some columns such as don't be an absolute blooming idiot. And in those, I've got things like in the third round, draft Vooch. In the fourth round, draft Chris Middleton, you blooming idiot. Like, there are things that you look at and just go, it's so obvious now. Why did I not just get these guys that are on good teams where their minutes are guaranteed and they've been getting great production for 3 or 4 years? Toby Harris is another one. These are what Dan calls the old man squad guys. I don't have enough of those on a good percentage of my teams, and it's definitely hurting.
You know, I'll tell you this. In a keeper league a few years ago, somebody offered me Chris Middleton for Otto Porter. And I really like Porter, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do it. Middleton is a couple years older. And their production was pretty similar at the time. And since then, Porter has just become an injured mess, and Middleton has been killing it. So that was a blooming idiot moment there.
Now, a name that's a little bit like Porter is Bobby Portis. He's somebody who had 20 points, 5 rebounds, no assists or steals, but he hit 2 3-pointers. He looks like a hold if you were streaming him. I don't think you want to drop him. Shout out to my buddy James, who's holding Bobby Portis in a few places and being rewarded. Brook Lopez had only six points, but he did have 3 steals and a block, those defensive categories. And Dante DiVincenzo had 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Even on games where he only has a small number of shots, like tonight where he had just 7, he fills up the categories and is providing really good value for where he was drafted. The last one to talk about is Drew Holiday. He had 11 points, he had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, but he's another one, the defensive stats, 2 steals and 1 block. He was a horrible 3 for 10 from the field, but showing why he provides value even on games where he's quiet.
Yeah, I think the Bucks are a nice team, and there's a lot of value from a lot of these guys.
All right, moving over to the next game on the evening. It was the Phoenix Suns up against the Washington Wizards, and the Phoenix Suns were defeated. 128 points to 107 in a bit of a turn up for the books. The undermanned Wizards without Russell Westbrook and, of course, without Tommy Bryant, tragically, but they were far too good for the Phoenix Suns. And one of the reasons for that was that, well, the Suns just could not contain them. Massive outbreak again from Beal. But let's look at the Suns first. Mikal Bridges is one of the top guys in fantasy in terms of outperforming where he was drafted. Relatively quiet game today. He had 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 6 for 9 from the field. Bridges is a guy you drafted anywhere?
Bridges is a guy I drafted everywhere. And again, another one of the Brewski 150 guys that is just killing it right now. Again, much higher on the Brewski 150 than any other rankings I saw. And, you know, we're talking about tonight's game, but he went off in the last game. I think he had 34 points, 6 threes. Mm. He's a monster right now. And again, he's likely to keep it up. So you're going to get a good return on him.
Yeah. Now he is, oddly, that's the last week. Sorry, I'm looking at the last week where he's only 64th in the last week. But on the season, he is inside the top. Where are we? God, I'm getting
40.
He's inside the top 40. Yeah, he's dropped off a little bit because of the last week. But given he was drafted like something like 70th or 80th or even later, sometimes 100, he's been providing pretty amazing value. Another guy who is amazing and was amazing today was Devin Booker. He had 33 points, 3 rebounds, but no assists. That's where the big drop-off with him is in it this season.
Yep. You like to see more. Obviously, Chris Paul is there, so it's not something that you can just assume is going to fix itself. And you may see some drop in his value from last season. I'm not sure. He was 29 last year. The thing is, the problem is, in many cases, he was being drafted top 20. So it doesn't look like he's going to reach last season's ranking and probably going to be somewhat lower. So I think it's going to be hard for you to get good value on where you drafted him.
Yeah, now he's one of those guys who at the moment, if you have him, you probably cannot sell him. And it's actually where trying to do a buy low, but not aiming too high with the guy you've got. Like, for example, would you give up Christian Wood for Booker right now?
No.
Mm. What about?
I say that quickly. I would probably consider it more strongly if it was actually offered.
Mm. What about Middleton?
No, definitely not.
DeAndre Ayton, he just had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. He was 4 for 10 from the field. We talked about him last week. Jay Crowder is a drop. He had a lot of donuts in there. If you've got him, he's definitely not a hold. Dario Saric had 13 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and he's not really a pickup either. Let's talk about the Washington Wizards. Where do we start? Bradley Beal, 34 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 12 for 22 from the field. He's not slowing down, is he?
No, he's on fire. Westbrook was out tonight. He's at number 5 on the season. He was number 11 last year, 14 2 years ago. Probably finishes in the top 10, especially if you're thinking about it on a cumulative basis.
What about Mo Wagner? He had 9 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Raul Neto had 16 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Robin Lopez had 11 points, 11 rebounds for a double-double. He had 2 assists, 5 for 6 from the field. Of those guys, are you streaming anybody in or holding on to any of those?
Very open to Wagner. I think he's a guy that we've seen him, you know, shoot threes, get blocks, do all that. I'm streaming him. I'd like to see what happens with Brian out. I think there's some minutes there for him, and he may make sense on a 12-team.
What about Davis Bertans? He had 18 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. If he was floating around on your wire, would you grab him?
Absolutely. I drafted him. I've held on to him so far. I will tell you, last year I drafted him as well. He got off to a nice start, maybe the first few weeks, and then he really cooled off. And so I dropped him. After I dropped him, he had a few big games. He got snatched up pretty quick. And then he was a top 60 guy or so for like the last half of the season. He was working his way into shape this year in the beginning. He's still coming off the bench. His field goal percentage is down. His points are down. But I think if he was dropped in your league, grab him immediately. And I think he's someone that's going to pay off big. Especially with Brian out. You know, even before that injury, I think he would have been a must own. But now, you know, he's beyond must own. It'd be crazy if he's on your wire. I'd say you're not in a competitive league.
I tell you what else is crazy. Crazy is not getting into some of the offers from our friends at Manscaped. It's not too far away from Valentine's Day. You should be planning. It's only about a month away. You need to be ready for the big night. And our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you what you need to use the best tools for the job so you can be ready for absolutely anything on that special day. There's already 2 million people using Manscaped products to groom. Make sure you're one of them. The best way to get started is with Manscaped's Perfect Package 3.0, full of the best products to keep you looking, smelling, and feeling nice. The Perfect Package 3.0 is led by their revolutionary third-generation lawnmower, the 3.0 trimmer, which has advanced skin-safe technology and features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Gee, we do not need any of those. The Perfect Package 3.0 will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer shorts that will keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped high-performance anti-chafing boxers, easily the comfiest boxers I've ever had. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. With the same signature scent that's all in Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to the collection. It's the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. That's 20% off with free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. The next game. Gee, do we need to talk about this? The Philadelphia 76ers up against the Atlanta Hawks. On the 76ers side, I'm almost embarrassed to admit, in a 24-team league this week, I am streaming Dakota Mathias, who led the team in minutes, 39 minutes today, 14 points, 4 assists. He had 2 big blocks for me. God, it's weird, isn't it?
It's weird, but it's a nice savvy move, you know? I think it's a nice pickup in a 24-team league.
Yeah, I streamed Tony Bradley as well, the two of them together, and I actually apologized to the guy I'm playing because he got 2 blocks for me and 8 rebounds today. So between the two of them, I got 4 blocks and a crap ton of rebounds and other stuff too. But, gee, it's weird, isn't it? Is there any – go on. I was going to say Tyrese Maxey, probably get away from the weirdness and talk about things. He's a week-long streamer. He had 15 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He also had 2 blocks as well. It was a block party out there.
Yeah, I think – I mean, it's a nice time for these guys with all the – not nice, but all the, you know, Sixers regulars are on the COVID, you know, protocols right now. So some of these guys who are lower on the pecking order are getting a chance to play a little bit, and they're going to flash some. But obviously the Sixers, the team, got walloped, and they're going to hope that they get their guys back as soon as possible. But not really much to take away from a fantasy perspective.
Except
Embiid's still productive. But
yeah, he was productive, but only in 22 minutes. And that's the problem, isn't it? Well, all these games this week, they're probably going to get flogged, and Embiid's only going to play a smaller number of minutes. But he still was great. You know, 24 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist. He had 1 block as well. He hit 1 three-pointer. Mike Scott is not really an NBA basketball player, and he didn't have a fantastic game. Danny Green, gee, what has happened to his shooting? He was 0-for-9. He was also terrible in their previous game as well.
Yeah, he's not worth streaming right now.
Atlanta Hawks, a little bit of good news, which was Trae Young had a better game because he has been appalling for about the past week or so. Ever since I was celebrating him as the best thing since sliced bread, because he was hitting 14 foul shots out of 15 over the first about 10 days of the season, was just incredible. And he was providing first round value. He then went and had like about a 10-day stretch of being like outside the top 200. But he managed 26 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, hit 3 three-pointers, and he was back to 5-for-6 from the foul line. Trae Young, just 25 minutes, he filled it up today.
Yep, and the blowout was the reason for the low minutes. Obviously, we've been hearing some stories out of Atlanta, some, you know, friction between him and John Collins, so you don't want to hear that if you own Trae Young or John Collins, but, you know, top 20 guy last year, he'll probably be a top 20 guy this year. He's gonna shoot back up. That's just a little bit of bad play, and that's gonna be a distant memory in a month from now.
Now, Clint Capella is someone we talked about, and I've drafted him in a couple of spots. He had a double-double. He had 12 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Only 4-for-12 from the field, though, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, you don't expect him to have bad field goal percentage. That's actually usually one of his biggest strengths. So you could chalk it up to a bad night. You could expect his percentage to go up soon, and you could expect his value to go up some as well.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with the value he's been returning so far. If he hits probably like three more of those shots, that's like an 18, 11, 1, 1, and 1 game, one more block, and that's about what you want from him. Cam Reddish is somebody who should be benefiting from Bogdan Bogdanovic, or Bog, as we call him down under. Bit of a quiet game today, but he had 10 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. DeAndre Hunter has been much better than his drafting rate this season where he was drafted. He had 15 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Kevin Huerter, another one to benefit from more minutes. He had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. I think we talked about this before, and my take on this was these guys are going to have kind of like argument. There's an argument about the value that they have, isn't there? Because it sort of like cycles around from guy to guy, from game to game.
Exactly. It's going to fluctuate up and down. Obviously, Hunter's been pretty good so far this year. You want to ride it out, see what happens. And the injuries to Bog will open up more time for these guys. So, you know, worth owning to see what happens. Certainly, Hunter is hurt or also should probably be snagged up in 12-team leagues. And let's see what they can do.
The next game on the slate was the Trailblazers, who rallied to win against the Raptors, their third straight win. The Raptors are not having a great season. It was CJ McCollum who won the game for the Blazers at the end, and Pascal Siakam missed another game winner on the other end. Pascal did have a good game, though. He had 22 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 steal. He was a guy drafted in that third round or at the very latest early fourth round. He might be turning it around.
Yeah, and I think that's to be expected. He's a good player. He finished very strongly last season. And last year on the season, he was a top 40 guy. So I think the points are going to be there. The threes are going to be there. You'd like to see a little bit more in the defensive stats. He didn't do much last year in those categories. Doesn't look like he has improved too much there. But he's a pretty safe bet to end up in the top 50. And we'll see how high up he can push it.
And Kyle Lowry had 18 points, 9 rebounds, and he had 2 assists. He was just 3 of 12 from deep, though. That they're not very great numbers from deep, but it's good to see Kyle Lowry back after he missed a game or two with injury. Something that was very good, and especially for where he was drafted, was Chris Boucher's numbers today. He had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist. He had also 3 blocks. He's a stat stuffing guy. He might be one of the breakout guys of the season. 32 minutes today as well.
He is number 27 on a per game basis and only 22 minutes a game. So his numbers are fantastic. They look like, you know, there's a plenty of room for growth, and he was someone that most people snagged off the wire. So he may be the pickup of the year.
And probably really good news for people who chose Boucher over Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines was a DNP coach's decision today. So if that continues to be the case and Boucher sees 30-plus minutes, wow, you might be spot on. He might even be better value than McCall Bridges, given where he was drafted. For the Portland Trailblazers, it was the aforementioned CJ McCollum who had another huge game. He is, on a per-game basis, the number one player in fantasy right now. He had 30 points. I have to say that again. CJ McCollum is the number one player on a per game basis in fantasy. At 38 minutes, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 5 for 6 from the free throw line, where he's just fantastic. 5 three-pointers at 45%, and he was 10 for 19 from the field at 52%. He is a sell high though, isn't he? Or not?
Yes, he is. I don't know how, again, I don't know what you're going to get for him. I don't know how far down the rankings you can go. You know, it's funny because I've considered him, not in a bad way, but I've considered him like the Serge Ibaka of guards. And not Serge necessarily when he went to Toronto and kind of got lost in the mix, but when Serge was a consistent top 40, top 50 big with good percentages, good blocks and all that, he was just a reliable big guy that was around 50. And I thought CJ McCollum was the equivalent. He's a reliable shooting guard, he's going to be around the top 50. And that was kind of his range for the last 5 seasons. and he was very consistent. He was very durable. And now this year he is, like you said, he's number one. So it does not seem sustainable. If you look at the numbers, his three-pointers are high. His, you know, points are high. His steals are double what they were last year. So you probably expect that the steals will come down some. But the points, even though they may come down some, and the three-pointers are almost certainly going to come down, I don't know how far down it's going to go, and I don't know. He could end up as a top 25 player. He's not going to be number one.
Mm. Yeah, because at the moment he's hitting 5 three-pointers a game, and you would think that has to drop off a little bit. He's also 48% from the field. At the volume he's shooting, that has to drop off a tick. So if you can get a second-round guy back for him, like, yeah.
Well, we can play the game. Would you take Christian Wood or would you take CJ McCollum?
Oh, that one is tough because Wood is a guy that was drafted not that far in front of CJ, because he was drafted around like mid-40s and CJ was maybe around that mid-40 to mid-50 range. So I think I would keep CJ.
Okay, how about Gordon Hayward?
CJ, because of the injury.
Concern. Okay, how about Vucevic?
Oh, Vuce, for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
All right. So this podcast is getting some respect for Vuce finally.
Yeah, you got me. Finishing off the Portland one, I'm rapidly running out of time here, so we better through this one and bash through the last game here. Yusuf Nurkic, he had just 2 points and 2 rebounds, and he only played 8 minutes because he got what we call in Australia corky, which is a cork thigh. If you know Aussies, they love to end things with IE. Like a cigarette is a ciggy, and a biscuit is a bicky, and a barbecue is a barbie. And if you've got a mate called Smith, he is Smithy. And Yusuf Nurkic got a corked thigh, which we call a corky. And it was from one of the smaller players on the opposition. And I saw someone saying, he's only got hit by a little guy. But I tell you what, corkies, they really hurt. I don't think he will miss more than probably a week at the absolute most. Probably a few games, but he's been bad.
He has been really bad, and he finally had a good game in limited minutes a couple games ago, but he is he's 172 so far this year, and I was going to miss some time. So I have him, and I'm riding it out. I don't think you can sell low.
It's because the return that you get is just going to be just not even worth it. Let's move on, because that's sad, and I've got him in a few leagues and I don't want to think about it. But let's talk about something more exciting, which was the Indiana Pacers game against the Kings. We should have left ourselves some more time for this, because there's a lot of fantasy value on both of these teams and a lot of interesting things. For the Indiana Pacers, Domantas Sabonis, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. It was 12 for 21 from the field. I hate myself for drafting LaMarcus Aldridge instead of him in one league. You are an absolute idiot, Aaron Jolly. You idiot, you blooming idiot. God, what did I do? Let's not talk about him. I don't want to let you talk about him. Let's talk about Malcolm Brogdon. He's somebody I have none of. So I regret that, but not as bad as passing him up for somebody who is injured. Malcolm Brogdon had 24 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, and 1 steal. He was very good. Miles Turner just had 6 points, but he had 3 blocks and 2 steals. The value he is providing has been amazing. I'm only going to let you talk about one guy. That's Dougie McDermott. He had 21 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Is Doug McDermott a pickup?
We've seen him in the past. You know, he's not someone that's played well in the future. This year, where is he on the per game? I don't think so. He hasn't done it in the past. Let's not get too excited over one good game here.
Shout out to my mate who messaged me at halftime. I'm playing him this week. Shout out to Big Mike Griffin, and messaged me. I think he had 15 points at halftime, and the message I got was, "You've got 9 more halves of Dougie McDermott tearing you to pieces this week," because the Pacers have 5 games. So anyway, on the Sacramento Kings side of things, Rashawn Holmes. Now this was incredible. He had 16 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 6 blocks. 4 of those blocks came in the fourth quarter after he had 5 fouls. He checked back in with 8 minutes to go. After sitting for the first 3 or 4 minutes of the quarter, He had four blocks, including a volleyball spike and an incredible block at the end where he blocked onto the backboard. He was amazing and looks like he's going to be a value pick.
He's going to be a massive value. Again, he has had his own durability concerns, so that's one thing to keep your eye out for. And it's one reason, if you can sell high, you know, and I use the term loosely because I don't think it's high in terms of his value, but just the durability is the only thing with him. Last year, we saw the same thing in Sacramento. They started giving him more minutes towards the end of the season. He finished at 42 overall, and he finished even higher at the, you know, tail end of the season. So none of the stats here are screaming regression. I mean, I don't see why any of them would go down appreciably. And, you know, the Hassan Whiteside addition, there was some thought that they may cut into his minutes, but it's clearly not the case, and looks like they're moving forward with him as the guy at the center position. So if you drafted him, enjoy the ride. If you can score a top 40 guy who's durable, go for it. But don't think that these numbers are going to go down.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. I'm just so delighted about Rashawn Holmes. That sort of almost makes up for my mistake with passing up on Sabonis. That's all we've got time for today because we just ran out of time here. I have got to run off and grab my daughter from childcare before I get arrested for neglect of a child. It was wonderful having you, Hank, and I am looking forward to seeing you again next Monday or speaking with you next Monday. Thanks very much, mate.
Thank you.
Take care.
See you next week. Take care.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.